6-4.
Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 62 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Arlo Barnett.
And I'm Cody Robinson.
Related due to the method of entry is the same. They use a crowbar to pull the window back.
Moorhead Police Captain Kyle Callahan is reaching out to the public for information on two recent burglaries downtown.
Boyd County School employees are concerned that budget cuts from the state will affect the quality of learning for students.
And bills that would legalize medical or recreational marijuana in Kentucky are getting some high-profile support.
In sports, the Kentucky basketball team is at a 10th-ranked Auburn tonight.
Bud Luke brings us the stock report.
A slight chance of isolated thunderstorms tonight with mid-lows around 58. Stay tuned for an extended weather forecast after this news.
Moorhead police are looking for information into two burglaries to apartments on Triplett and Christian Streets. Officials say the apartments were occupied by three of the men arrested by Rowan County Sheriff's Department in a drug sting last week. MPD Captain Kyle Callahan says the thief made quick work of the items that were stolen.
One of the TVs that was taken from Triplett Street was pawned on the same day at about 10 after 3. So we got the call at 10 minutes till 3, then 10 after 3, one of the TVs were pawned.
Callahan says a crowbar was used to gain entry into both apartments. Anyone with information is encouraged to call the Moorhead Police Department.
East Carter Middle School went into a brief lockdown Tuesday. WMKY's Chaz Jenkins reports.
The graffiti, written on bathroom railing, said there would be a shooting at the school at 1:30 p.m. on February 13th. In response to the threat, Superintendent Ronnie Dotson had the Kentucky State Police, Grayson City Police, and the Carter County Sheriff come to the school. According to the Grayson Journal-Inquirer, they handled metal detectors before doing a complete sweep for weapons in the school's lockers. Dotson says you have to take any threat seriously, even though it would be hard for anyone to get a weapon into the school. He also notes the school is reviewing security footage to try and find the culprit who will be punished. For WMKY News, I'm Chaz Jenkins.
The Magoffin County Sheriff's Department has arrested a Floyd County man on drug charges. EKB News reports 30-year-old Kenneth Hayden of Blue River fled Kentucky State Police before being apprehended. Trooper William Petrie says Hayden was found hiding in a creek.
Troopers located a large amount of cash, which I believe to be $5,000. He had drugs suspected to be methamphetamines, about 145 grams of that. Also had a white bag containing white powder, which is suspected to be cocaine.
Hayden is charged with trafficking in a controlled substance and possession of a handgun by a convicted felon, among a handful of other charges. He's lodged in the Big Sandy Regional Detention Center.
A Powell County man is behind bars facing charges of drug and gun trafficking. WKYT reports a multi-county investigation ended in Adam Hall's surrender to deputies, federal ATF agents, and Kentucky State Police at a home on Frames Branch Road in Powell County. Hal, a convicted felon, had stolen fully automatic MP5 submachine gun. Investigators also found other weapons, ammunition, and methamphetamine. This is the latest in a string of meth-related arrests investigated by the Montgomery County Sheriff's Department.
Ashland police made a series of unrelated drug arrests over the weekend. According to the Ashland Daily Independent, the bookings began Saturday morning with the arrest of Cassie Perdue on charges of public intoxication and possession of a controlled substance. Matthew Leiby was arrested later that day after officers received a call about a suspicious man breaking into vehicles. He was found to be in possession of an unspecified drug. At late Sunday night, city police arrested Sarah Cherry and Stephen Lindsay after a traffic stop. Officers say they found a large amount of crystal meth, digital scales, and a firearm in the vehicle. All suspects are lodged in the Boyd County Detention Center.
Residents of Knapp Avenue in Moorhead say a neighbor's logging is disruptive, but city council members say there isn't much they can do. Kathy Royer lives on Knapp. She brought up the issue at Monday night's city council meeting.
So, you know, we just see these trucks and hear these trucks daily, several times up and down the road of what was a quiet residential subdivision.
Royer says her neighbor, who owns the property, has not given a time frame for when the project will be complete. Despite voiced frustration from residents of Knapp Avenue, city council members say under state law they cannot create an ordinance banning logging on private property.
Things are back to normal at the city of Flemingsburg's water plant, rather. Its daily output had to be sharply increased after the Greater Fleming Water District had to shut down its plant. That was due to a serious leak found in one of its intakes. Flemingsburg generally purchases about 250,000 gallons of water a day from the district. Martin Voyers is the city's mayor.
We went from running our plant on an average of 5 or 6 hours a day to basically doubling that amount. But that was well within what we could do. We could produce more if we needed to, so nobody was without any water in the city. Pressure was maintained at normal levels. Our tanks remained filled, so we did not experience any problems from that whatsoever.
Voyer says it helped that Flemingsburg upgraded its water plant a few years ago. In addition to buying water from the Great Fleming District, the city also purchases several thousand gallons from Maysville.
The Kentucky Transportation Cabinet has awarded rural secondary road aid funds to Lee County. $43,500 will go towards repairing a slide causing a break in pavement on Kentucky 2017, less than a mile north of Kentucky 52 in the county. H.B. Elkins is the spokesman for the KTC. He says the state has four classifications of highways that determine where funds will go to.
A state primary, state secondary, rural secondary, and supplemental. Given Kentucky's history as a rural state, there's money that is set aside in the road fund for the rural secondary routes.
Every 2 years, money for emergency repairs is set aside for the gasoline tax, and that is what makes up these emergency road aid funds.
Moorhead Mayor Jim Tom Trent is defending the decision to give the city's employees 25 cent an hour pay raises. City Council approved giving the mid-year increases to the nearly 70 workers by a 5-to-1 vote Monday night. With the town recently receiving a good financial audit that noted it would have another $560,000 in carryover funds this year, Trent says authorizing the pay hikes was the right thing to do.
It brings everybody up in the city, which is one of my goals when I first came into office. No one in the city is making less than $10 an hour. When I had came in, administration started almost 4 years ago. We had some folks that were working in jobs or making very difficult, physically demanding jobs, making around $8, $8.25 an hour, sometimes $8.50, and so we wanted to do that.
Trent says with the city's cash reserves expected to take a serious hit due to an expected decline in the payroll tax revenue and an increase in its pension contributions, it's uncertain if there will be money available next year to give Moorhead's workers pay hikes. This year's mid-year raises will cost the city an estimated $20,000.
According to one official, Rowan County appears to be on the cusp of some big things from an economic development standpoint. Bob Hilton is the executive director for the Moorhead-Rowan County Economic Development Council. Hilton says a number of companies are showing an interest in locating in the area.
Actually, we've been picking up the pace a little bit lately as far as RFPs, you know, the request for proposals we get from Frankfurt and otherwise. So we've seen two we've turned in, third one that just came out late last week. And so activity is really good, to be honest.
RFPs are requests for proposal. According to Hilton, Kentucky's economic development picture as a whole is looking rosy right now. He believes the state's passage of a right-to-work law and its large available workforce are the main factors in making that happen.
Mason County residents will go to the polls March 20th to decide the fate of a tax increase for the school district. Peyton Stewart of WMKY reports.
The date for a special election was set by Mason County Fiscal Court during its regular meeting. The special election to recall a second nickel tax came after more than 1,000 signatures were collected through a petition asking that the issue be placed on a ballot. The tax was approved in December by Mason County Board of Education members and earmarked for improvements to present facilities. Superintendent Rick Ross clarified that the money is for maintenance or buildings only and can't be used for salaries. Reporting for WMKY, I'm Peyton Stewart.
Educators in Boyd County are worried about how budget cuts may affect the quality of learning for students. Governor Matt Bevin's budget proposal for the 2018 fiscal year will impose some hefty cuts on educational funding if left unchanged. According to the Daily Independent, Boyd County may have to dig into its reserves to continue providing adequate education for the students. As it stands, Governor Bevin's proposal will cut more than half of the transportation budget, 12% of administrative expenses, and reduce the general fund by more than $1 million. Local lawmakers aren't necessarily in support of the budget cuts, but currently have no suggestions as to where else the money could be pulled from.
Kentucky State Police Commissioner Rick Sanders says he was thrilled to hear modern equipment was a priority in Governor Bevin's budget proposal, but is now concerned with a $12 million cut in the KSP's two-year budget. WKYT reports Sanders testified in Frankfort yesterday to address the funding issues. He says the KSP would operate best with about 1,100 troopers.
And we're down right now this morning to 838. I don't know what's going to happen with pension reform, how many will retire this summer, but we could be down to record lows below 800. These are not wants. These are needs that we have to do our job and do it safely.
Sanders says a lack of funding is linked to increased risk for troopers, citing an aging vehicle fleet and outdated weaponry. Despite his concerns with the proposed budget, Sanders commended Governor Bevin for his work to implement a competitive pay scale for state police. We'll have more state news right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from the Center for Gifted Studies at Western Kentucky University, providing classes for high-ability students, their parents, and their educators for more than 30 years. The Center for Gifted Studies is now accepting applications for middle and high school summer camps, including the 35th Annual Advanced Placement Summer Institute, June 25th through 29th. More information at 270-745-6323 or online at wku.edu/gifted. Republican leaders in Kentucky's legislature may be close to unveiling a bill aimed at shoring up state pension systems for government employees and school teachers after weeks of work. Senate President Robert Stivers thinks a pension bill will be presented this week. This year's legislative session reaches its halfway point today. Anticipation has been mounting as top Republican lawmakers have pored over actuarial reviews on how much pension proposals would cost taxpayers. Acting House Speaker David Osborne says it's been a frustrating process that has moved more slowly than anticipated. He says lawmakers decided to move cautiously with as much information as possible, and the goal is to craft a plan that ensures the long-term viability of the public pension systems while also garnering enough votes to pass.
The Better Business Bureau of Central and Eastern Kentucky is warning people about scammers using online dating websites. A recent study shows an estimated 1 million Americans have been victimized in romance fraud scams with losses nearing $1 billion. Con artists pose as potential love interests and try to get potential victims to send them money. BBB spokeswoman Heather Clary suggests that online daters need to be wary of who they come into contact with.
Try to think with your head as well as with your heart. Something sounds too good to be true. Just use caution. And if they start asking for too much personal information, but they're not wanting to present information to you, that should be a red flag as well. You may want to reconsider.
Clary urges those who've been victimized by an online dating scammer to report it to the website and to also contact the Better Business Bureau or the Federal Trade Commission. And on that note, happy Valentine's Day, everybody.
Taking a further look at this week's weather forecast, tonight, it'll be some rain showers tapering off into overnight sprinkles with a low of 58. Tomorrow, we can expect some morning showers and some scattered T-storms arriving in the afternoon with a high of 69. Tomorrow night, the rain will continue on through the night with some light wind gusts and a low of 55. Friday, we'll have more rain and a morning high of 58 with temperatures dipping into the 40s. Friday night, we can expect some cloudy skies with clear weather and a low of 28 degrees. Current temperatures in Moorhead, it is 62 degrees. In Flemingsburg, it is 60 degrees. Ashland, it is 62 degrees. In Winchester, it is 61 degrees. In Inez, it is 65 degrees.
The time is 4:45. You're tuned in to Mountain Edition on Morehead State Public Radio. I'm Arlo Barnett here with Cody Robinson. Thanks for tuning in on this Wednesday afternoon. On our feature segment, an extensive lifetime collection of NASCAR memorabilia in Ashland is for sale. WMKY's Tilden Johnson reports.
Rick Fife's collection fills a two-car garage, and he has artifacts that span more than 40 years. Fife of Ashland purchased the large collection from his friend.
The material that was collected by Phil Stemmer, which is a good friend, and I just came across it because he was wanting to move to Florida, and he's 74 years old, and I just bought it as an investment, and anyway, just kind of help him out and so forth, so that's how I came across it.
Stemmer worked security at Charlotte Motor Speedway from 1984 until his retirement in 2015. During his time there, he would bring home some things from work that were left behind or thrown away, such as a bumper from driver Jeff Gordon's car that had been tossed in a dumpster. Fife, who doesn't follow NASCAR, thinks his collection is neat, but he now wants the space again in his garage.
I am not a NASCAR fan. Matter of fact, my knowledge of NASCAR is very limited. And anyway, I just had the space to put it, and it is in my garage, and I keep it heated and temperature-controlled, climate-controlled, but anyway, my intent is to move it because I need my garage.
The quantity of NASCAR artifacts is so large that Fife admits he has trouble putting a number on it.
I mean, it's made up of so many different things. It's got cars. It's got over 500 cars. But anyway, there's just memorabilia that's signed by the different drivers and all the stand-up posters, the little items, personal items, pictures, things, probably in the neighborhood of 2,000 to 3,000.
Fife says that putting a dollar value on what the collection is worth would be difficult, but he knows that pieces from one of NASCAR's biggest stars will drive up the price.
No doubt most of all the most valuable pieces are the Dale Earnhardt Sr. and his items that he had signed personally, and like champagne balls from the Winner's Circle and so forth, his signature on those.
But determining what some of the other artifacts are worth will be harder due to their uniqueness.
And then I have pictures taken by Phil Stemmer of Dale Earnhardt Sr. when he was young, and him and Billy Elliott and Darrell Waltrip, just all those when they were young, and those things like that that are one of a kind, and really it's hard to place the value on those kind of things.
Fife says the collection has never been appraised, but he has had some hefty offers.
Nothing of what it's worth. I mean, I've had estimates of people wanting to come. They said they'd like to have the collection. They said probably in 2 years or so we could move the collection, probably in the neighborhood of $200,000. It may be more than that, maybe a little bit less than that. I've asked $35,000 for everything, and I think that is I think someone could do really well with that.
For more information about Rick Fife's collection of NASCAR memorabilia, you can call him at 606-831-5081. For WMKY News, I'm Tilden Johnson.
The time is 4:48. You're still here with Mountain Edition on Morehead State Public Radio. Braxton Howard has a view of the sports world for you in 30 seconds.
Support for MSPR comes from the city of Morehead, home to Morehead State University, St. Clair Healthcare, Kentucky Folk Arts Center, and Morehead Conference Center. The city of Morehead supports efforts to encourage community livability, economic prosperity, and cultural outreach. Facebook and online at morehead-ky.gov.
A tall task. Good afternoon for WMKY Sports. I'm Braxton Howard. The Kentucky basketball team faces the inevitable task of trying to snap its three-game losing streak at 10th-ranked Auburn tonight at 9 o'clock. At 22-3, the Tigers have their best team in years. However, UK assistant coach Kenny Payne says the Cats will have the advantage of length and athleticism against Auburn's four-guard lineup.
Their tallest guy is 6'7", 6'8", that's playing minutes. We have to take advantage of that. That means offensive rebounding. That means stuff around the baskets. We have to be strong. We have to be the aggressor. We have to go after them. And we really have to go out and play desperate basketball and confident basketball, which is really important.
Payne hopes the challenge of facing a good team like Auburn will bring out the best in the Cats. UK coach John Calipari is 9-1 lifetime against the Tigers. Meanwhile, the University of Kentucky has announced a new documentary series that will provide a, quote, unprecedented behind-the-scenes look at the basketball program. Inside the Madness is a 10-episode series produced by the creators of Showtime's A Season With. The series debuts this Saturday, with a new episode following each week through March 31st. The series will air on Facebook. The Morehead State Basketball Eagles will bid to end their 6-game losing streak tomorrow in Nashville when they square off with Tennessee State at 8:30. 6-19 MSU has lost a number of close ones this year, including last Saturday's 75-73 decision at Eastern Kentucky. Coach Preston Spradlin says his young squad is still trying to figure out who its go-to guy is when the game is on the line.
You got to know who you can count on going down the stretch, and that's obviously been changing for us each and every game. And that's, you know, we got to get some consistency in our guys, and I think that would make some big strides for us.
Tennessee State beat MSU 61-58 last month at Johnson Arena. The 14-11 Tigers are riding a 6-game winning streak. The Morehead State women's basketball team will also be looking to reverse its fortunes when it plays at Tennessee State tomorrow evening at 6:30. At 18-9 overall and 9-5 in the OVC, Coach Greg Todd's Eagles have lost two of their last three games, including a defeat last Saturday at Eastern Kentucky.
We just got to regroup and get back against a Tennessee State team that will be stronger, definitely on their home court.
The MSU women ran over Tennessee State 97-81 on February the 1st at Johnson Arena. The Tigers are just 3-11 in OVC play. One note from the NBA, De'Aaron Fox will replace Lonzo Ball in the Rising Stars Challenge, which takes place this Friday during the NBA All-Star Weekend. Ball has missed the Lakers' last 13 games with a sprained MCL. Fox has averaged 15 points and 4 assists over that time. Morehead State baseball coach Mike McGuire remains excited about the prospects for his Eagles this spring. Picked to finish second in the OVC, McGuire says one thing he knows that his team will be able to do this season is score runs.
You know, this club has the potential to be as offensive as any we've had. Just the depth. One of the things that excites me about our club is, you know, in our first 12 hitters, there's only two guys there that don't have at least 200-plus career at-bats, whether that's at the junior college level or at our level, and most of it is at our level.
In going 36-32 last season, MSU hit .332 as a team, scoring an average of more than 9 runs a game. The Eagles open up 2018 on Friday in South Carolina against UMass Lowell. Scooter Jeanette is an early arrival to the Cincinnati Red Spring training camp in Goodyear, Arizona. Driving 32 hours from his home in Sarasota, Florida, the 27-year-old second baseman showed up yesterday in a rented RV with his wife, their dog, and all of his baseball equipment.
Yeah, it was great. I put all my stuff in there, a lot of storage, so all my bats, all my baseball equipment, didn't have to worry about shipping it out.
Jeanette is getting a jump start on camp. The Reds position players aren't required to report to their scheduled physicals until Sunday. The 3-1 MSU softball team is in action on Friday. They're participating in the Fairfield Inn and Suites Invitational in North Carolina. Softball Eagles will face off with Bucknell, Northern Kentucky, James Madison, and Campbell. MSU coach David Williams says it's going to be a good challenge for his team.
So the quality of teams we're going to face this weekend are very, very good, much like the ones we faced this past weekend. And really, these first few weeks of our schedule have a lot of challenging opponents in it. So this is going to be another test, and we're going to go out there and take it game by game, and, you know, hopefully everything falls in our favor.
The Eagles face Bucknell and Northern Kentucky on Friday, starting at 10 a.m. Finally in sports, from the Olympic snowboarder Sean White, who won gold yesterday for the U.S., is apologizing for calling sexual assault claims against him gossip after taking criticism for the comments last night. Meanwhile, Germany still leads the medal count with 12. Netherlands and Norway have 11 each. The United States currently sits with 7, with 5 of those 7 coming in snowboarding events. That's sports for WMKY. I'm Braxton Howard.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Eagle basketball will close out their regular season home schedule, hosting UT Martin on February 22nd and Eastern Kentucky on February 24th. Tickets and information from the MSU Eagle Ticket Office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing financial markets report for WMKY. Stocks rose sharply, notching a four-day winning streak as banks and technology carried major indices higher, this despite a jump in bond yields. And the Dow Industrials did finish with a gain of 253.04 at 24,893.49. The S&P 500 was up 35.69 at 2698.63, and the NASDAQ was the best performer of the three major indices, finishing with a gain of 130.1 at 7143.62. Your financials and technology stocks each rose more than 1.5%, and within the NASDAQ composite, bellwether stocks such as Facebook, Amazon, Netflix, and Alphabet, which of course is the parent for Google, all of these stocks rose over 2%. U.S. equities opened lower, actually, this morning on the back of stronger-than-expected inflation data. The Consumer Price Index rose 0.5% in January. Economists had expected a gain of only 0.3%, and investors also digested weaker-than-expected retail sales for last month. And the 10-year note yield did spike today, or I should say it spiked higher as bond prices fell, and it actually hit a four-year high just over 2.91%. In the commodities markets, oil was up 2.5%, finishing at $60.71 a barrel, while gold was up 1.75% to finish at $1,353.60 an ounce. In Europe, stocks were strong, with the Stock 600 index up 1.1%, and in Asia, stocks were strong as well, with the Shanghai Composite up almost 0.5%, and the Hang Seng in Hong Kong up 2.25%. Among Dow industrial stocks, the best performers were Nike and Goldman Sachs, while the worst performers were McDonald's and Verizon. In the S&P 500, the best performers were Chipotle and Interpublic Group, while the worst performers were Biogen and HCP. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Ashland Global up $1.32 at $71.73, Marathon Petroleum up $2.08 at $68.16, AEP down 27 cents at $65.31, AK Steel up 33 cents at $5.17, CSX up $1.59 at $55.15, and Community Trust Bank was up 60 cents to finish at $44.80. Reporting for WMKY, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
4:57 here on Moorhead State Public Radio, and it's Valentine's Day, so we're going to read you some public service announcement under the sultry sound of Al Green. The Claypool Young Art Gallery at Moorhead State University presents the 2018 Sophomore Art and Design Exhibition through February 21st. The show is an opportunity for MSU Department of Art and Design students to exhibit their artwork in a professional setting at the midpoint of their college career. The exhibit is free and open to the public.
Moorhead State University's Student Activities, Inclusion and Leadership Development is sponsoring a public showing of the film King, A Man of Peace in a Time of War on Thursday, February 22nd. Showing every 60 minutes from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. in the Athena Room, located on the second floor of the Camden Carroll Library. Admission is free and the public is invited.
And the Cave Run Symphony Orchestra presents the Kentucky Bank Ben Malfris Family Fun Concert at 3 p.m. on Sunday, February 25th at the Moorhead Conference Center. Tickets are $15 for adults, free to MSU students, and to children ages 17 and under.
Taking another look at this week's weather forecast, tonight we'll be seeing some rain showers tapering off into overnight sprinkles with a low of 58. Tomorrow we can expect some morning showers and some scattered T-storms arriving in the afternoon with a high of 69. Tomorrow night the rain will continue on through the night with some light wind gusts and a low of 55. Friday we can expect even more rain and a morning high of 58 with temperatures dipping into the 40s. Friday night, there will be some cloudy skies with some clear weather and a low of 28 degrees. And Saturday, there will be some early showers moving into a steady rain later, a high of 43 and an overnight low of 31 degrees. Sunday, we'll have a small break from the rain in the morning with a high of 53. Cloudy skies and rain later with a low of 42. It is 62 degrees in Moorhead.
And that'll do it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Leanne Akers, Chuck Mraz, Chaz Jenkins, Peyton Stewart, Sean Delaney, Kyle Blankenbuehler, Jacob Lindberg, Brian Courtney, and Braxton Howard, along with Jack Cottle. Hilliard Lyons' Bud Luke pitched in, and our feature segment today came from WMKY's own Tilden Johnson. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY Moorhead, translator W202BH Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Cody Robinson and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Arlo Barnett, WMKY News. All Things Considered is next. It's 5 o'clock.